Last weekend, my wife and I went to see the movie Brave. It was good, but I came away thinking that it was somehow different. You see, I grew up on Disney movies, on fairy tales as told by the mouse, and in almost all of those movies, the power that conquers is love, which is a good and true thing most of the time. And it is in some ways true in Brave. I don't want to give it away if you haven't seen it. But the most crucial thing in the movie is not love. There are no evil spells lifted with love's first kiss in this movie. Rather, it's about responsibility. It's about repentance. In this morning's gospel, Jesus sends out the disciples into the countryside to go ahead of him. And the gospel says, they proclaimed that all should repent. Jesus had come out of the wilderness after his baptism preaching this same message. The kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus proclaimed. Repent and believe in the good news. This message had drawn the disciples to Jesus in the first place. And now they were going out to share this message far and wide. The same one that prophets such as Amos and Isaiah had been sounding on God's behalf for centuries. They were to go out and proclaim to anyone who would listen in the Galilee, in every town and village. Jesus all but guarantees that the disciples will meet some resistance in proclaiming this message of good news and of repentance. He gives them explicit instructions to shake the dust of towns that refuse to hear them off their feet, so nothing of that town may cling to them. Apparently, Jesus was aware of our trouble, humanity's conflicted relationship with repentance. I just returned from vacation a week ago, and while I was out on vacation, my family and my wife and I, we all went out to dinner. We were at one of the better Mexican restaurants in Tucson, Arizona, and we all took full advantage of that opportunity. At the end of an excellent and very large meal filled with shredded meats, tortillas, guacamole, salsas, enchiladas, and topped off with flan and tres leches cake, one of the people at the table, who shall remain nameless, said to no one in particular, "I'm going to regret eating this much." Everyone at the table shook their head in agreement. We humans have regret down pretty well. We do something, and then we feel bad about it, whether it's tres leches or chocolate cake, maybe, or giving in and smoking that cigarette that you're not supposed to smoke, or allowing our emotions to take hold when we're talking to our parents or our children and saying something that, in hindsight, we really wish that we hadn't. Or 100,000 other actions and inactions that we, given time and space to reflect, we would have chosen not to do. We regret often, but we do not often repent. We feel bad, but we don't think that we need to change our behavior. We look instead for things and people outside that we can blame. The message of the disciples, the one that they are commissioned to proclaim, is not one of regret. It's not one of, yeah, you shouldn't have done that, but hey, it's not your fault. You were tired, you were hungry. It is one of repentance. We are to take responsibility for our actions and to change our, well, to change our everything. My uncle has always been a good athlete. He played basketball in high school and in college. And after graduating from college, he got wind of a new sport that was just being formed in California called triathlon. When he signed up for his first triathlon, he thought, well, I'll just keep doing all the things I've been doing to train for basketball. I'll swim a bit, I'll bike a bit, which I do anyway, and really, I'll be fine. After all, I'm a good athlete. I'm a basketball player. He trained. The day of the race came. He raced his first race. It was harder than he could have ever imagined. But the next day, he could barely get out of bed. He was so sore that the stairs down to the kitchen from his bedroom took him, in his words, around 20 minutes. You know, he would go down a stair very slowly and finally get the step of the next stair, and then it would take him another minute to move his other foot down to that stair. Down and down and down and down the stairs. And so he reflected on what he had done. He felt so bad. And he liked doing triathlon. He enjoyed the people that he was around. He enjoyed the camaraderie of the sport. But this soreness that he was feeling this next day wasn't working for him. And so he changed everything. He stopped training like a basketball player and started training like a triathlete. He changed how he worked out. He changed what he ate. He even changed how he thought. Eventually, he even stopped thinking of himself as a basketball player and started thinking of himself as a triathlete. The message that Jesus proclaimed, this message of repentance that he tells the disciples to go out and proclaim in today's gospel, is good news, Jesus says. It is good news of the loving care of God. That's why he tells the disciples not to take no money, no food, not even an overnight bag, no change of clothing. They're to rely on God to provide all that they need and more. They're to show that what repentance should look like, reliance on God. The repentance that the disciples preached, that Jesus had preached, was a renouncing of our attempts to rely on ourselves, turning away from God. We are to reorient ourselves toward God, physically, mentally, and spiritually. To admit that we have no power to sustain ourselves, much less save ourselves. Rather, we are to rely on God to save us, to feed us, to get us through each and every day. After all, that is the point of Jesus, to be the mediation through which we are saved from enslavement to death. Not only that, to be made not only servants of God, but children of God through Jesus, through baptism into his death and resurrection. And if we are to become children, then we are also heirs in God's heavenly kingdom. We are offered that opportunity by God. That is the good news that Jesus proclaims. God offers it to us freely, knowing what we are, knowing that we are imperfect, knowing that we sometimes regret what we do, and we do what we regret, but knowing that it is within our power to repent. Growing up in Montana, I had a mountain behind my house. That mountain also happened to be a city park. Yeah, the whole mountain. And I started hiking that mountain by myself when I was about 8. And so by 12, I was pretty sure that I knew where I was, anywhere on the mountain. So when a friend and I were asked to hike a certain trail on the mountain for a school project, I was sure that it would be the easiest assignment of the year. But, of course, we got lost. I think we should turn around, my friend said at one point, as I trudged down a trail that looked nothing like anything I'd ever seen before. He was looking at the map he had brought. I know where we are, I said, feeling vaguely uneasy. At least I think I do. Here, he said. Look at the map. I don't need a map, I said, not recognizing anything around me. My friend scrutinized the map. I think we missed the turn back there a ways. Sensing the truth rather than being, I finally admitted it. Fine, I said, I'm lost. Let's go back to the turn and get on the right trail. So we hiked back to the fork and reoriented ourselves, and we set out again, this time on the right trail. The kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus had told the disciples. Repent and believe in the good news of God. God's love is available to each of us and all of us. All we have to do is turn around and find the right trail. Amen.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church and the world. Almighty and ever-living God, who in thy holy word hast taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, receive these our prayers which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and to grant that all those who do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other ministers, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacrament. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that, with meek heart and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. We beseech thee also so to rule the hearts of those who bear the authority of government in this and every land, that they may be led to wise decisions and right actions for the welfare and peace of the world. Open, O Lord, the eyes of all people to behold thy gracious hand in all thy works, that, rejoicing in thy whole creation, they may honor thee with their substance and be faithful stewards of thy bounty. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all those who, in this transitory life, are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We offer our thanksgivings for the youth team, the Episcopal Church of the Good Shepherd, Town and Country, and Pamela, the rector, the Anglican Church in New Guinea, and Joseph, the bishop. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, especially Howard, Kay, and Virginia, beseeching thee to grant them continual growth in thy love and service, and to grant us grace so to follow the good examples of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Blessed Michael, Blessed George, and of all thy saints, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant these our prayers, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen. Let us humbly confess our sins unto Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the word of God to all who truly turn to him. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a true saying and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the perfect offering for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. The peace of the Lord be always with you. No pressing announcements for the parish this morning, just the usual routine and things that you can read about in your bulletin. But we do take this opportunity to welcome our guests and visitors who may be with us. And so we especially invite you afterwards to make yourself known to us, to the preacher at the door, Father Jed, and then into the Great Hall if you can come by for refreshments and just conversation there. And if we can help you around this place to know more about our parish, we would love to do so. The rector and his family are away on vacation, and so this is a month when you'll see us here at the helm for the most part, and so we love it and give him an opportunity to get away and get a break before coming back in August. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.